So, you know, brag on the Lord a little bit. Tell you what God's done for her. And was at that church. I don't know if I've said this here before, but a church out west one time. They said, take 3 minutes and tell the church everything the Lord's done for you. And I couldn't tell you everything the Lord's done for me since I woke up this morning in 3 minutes. So when you ask her, she's been saved a long time. When you ask her to get up and talk about what the Lord done, we could be here a long time. Now that, don't walk off because you'll drag that off. Yeah. All right. Yeah. That works. All right. Do it for
cool.
I'm still preaching now.
She's been sitting down.
I know. Lord, I pray you'd let me be a blessing and
Amen.
Say the right thing and not say things that don't need to be said. And I don't know what you want me to do here. 43 years is a long time, and we all have things that we could tell each other that would be encouragement to each other. We all have a story, Lord, and I just pray you would bless this story
Amen.
And this testimony of your grace.
Amen.
And I was writing out my testimony one time, and it seemed like every verse that I wrote out had the word grace in it. For by grace are you saved through faith, and the grace of God bringeth us to repent. I mean, it just, everything had grace in it. I said, well, that's just what I have, is a testimony of
Amen.
Grace. And I'm sure everybody could probably say that too. But I'm from a very large Catholic family, very strict German Catholics, and we grew up in a wonderful small town on Lake Erie. My dad drove into the city, so we could have a lovely place to live that was safe with no issues, like in our town. And we had so many things. We had good, my parents were very moral, and they even prayed every day on their knees for us to find God.
Amen.
So there were 9 of us, and they would pray. They didn't know saved. We didn't have a gospel witness in our small town. They would just say, help our children find God. And that was neat. But we even had devotions in our home. We went to everything that they were just trying in their way to bring us upright. My sister, there's 9 of us, so my sister got saved. That was the entrance of light into our family.
Amen.
That was how God changed us all.
Amen.
And she started to pray. She was the one, she's the 4th of the 9. She started to pray. And one by one, all 9 of us got saved.
Amen.
And, you know, 2 of us were saved, and we'd pray for the rest, and then one would influence another, and now all 9 of us will be in heaven together.
Amen.
It was a real blessing. And but before I got saved, I went to college. I thought that was the you know, a small town, you think something more wonderful is outside of your small town. So I went to college, and I wanted to work with people that couldn't hear or had problems. So I went to college, and I got a bachelor's degree in rehabilitation education, and then I got a master's degree in rehabilitation counseling of the severely disabled. And I applied to law school because my first husband thought I should go to law school. And I did get accepted. That was really unusual way back in the horse and buggy days. And but I did. And but right before, right in that time where I was finishing up one and maybe going on to another idea, I really started to enjoy learning. Right at that time, I started to feel like, okay, I have this goal. I have this goal. I have a new home in the suburbs. I have a Corvette in the garage. I have pedigree. I have. And, you know, I have all these things. And just remember, I'm from a family of 9. So these things looked pretty special.
Yeah.
But they weren't answering what was this emptiness inside of me, and I didn't even know. Because as a Catholic, I didn't know that Jesus Christ lived in your heart. I didn't know that fact. I didn't know that Jesus came in. But I started to hunger and thirst after something different, and my sister that got saved sent me an article from the Moody Monthly magazine. You might have remembered it. And it was refuting these doctrines of a cult Bible study I got in college. And I wasn't real faithful, but she saw that as an opportunity to try to reach me for the Lord. So she sent me the article. I went to the Christian bookstore in my little teeny weeny town that I was now living in. And there I got a book, again refuting more of that. But then I picked up a book by Dr. Ruckman on Revelation. So I took this book home, and my first husband, Mike, he was a Vietnam veteran. He'd been shot in Vietnam, and we had gotten married in college. And I said, and he hated God because he had been shot in the spine. He even named his dog Devil. I mean, he really did. He hated God. But I said, but he always talked about prophecy. And I said, well, here's this book on Revelation. Maybe it'd be something you'd like to read. And then I started reading it, and I said, this is really good. I have never, if you've never read it, it's amazing. And I read it, and then I started to say, the answer's in here. The answer's somewhere in this book. And I still didn't get it all, but I just prayed that he would read that book, and he started to read it. He started to read the book, and he called me in one day, and he said, Susan, I just asked Jesus Christ to be my Savior. I mean, this is the God-hater. You know what I mean? And he said, why don't you ask Jesus to save you too? And I did. I got down on my knees next to my bed, and I asked Jesus Christ in my heart. And that's how I got saved. My sister praying over there, trying to send me things. But, I mean, I would try to read those tracts, and I couldn't. Something was like a barrier. I couldn't. Here I could read medical manuals and all these things and all this training. I couldn't even read a gospel tract. There was some kind of shield that was keeping me from understanding. Well, I got saved. And in that book, it said every Christian needs four things in their Christian library. And one of them was a Fox's Book of Martyrs. One was Larkin's Dispensational Truth. This is probably memory lane for you, brother. Larkin's Dispensational Truth. Young's Concordance? What was it?
Strong's Concordance.
And there was one other thing.
Dictionary.
Yes.
1828.
The 1828 Dictionary. So I go back to the, I have this hippie girl. I have combat boots and the frayed jeans on. And I go to the Christian bookstore. I said, I need all these books, you know. And the guy said, are you saved? I said, yes, I just prayed and I just got saved. And I need these books. Oh, and a King James Bible. So I got all these books at the Christian bookstore. And went home and tried to make some sense out of it. But that man that owned the Christian bookstore ended up to be my pastor, Pastor Eastup. And he came over and invited us to church. And we went to church. And I tell you what, we made I don't know how many degrees. We just got in. We were so excited about church. We were at church all the time. We wanted to hear more. We opened our Bibles. We read. We just got in, hide, hair, and all.
Yeah.
And it was just wonderful.
Amen.
As much as we were in the world, and then so this is the fascinating thing. If you have not, you guys have grown up with the Bible. If I had you guys all raise your hands who had the Bible when they were young, there would be a lot of you here today. But we didn't have that. And for you to be able to open up the Bible and find something was fascinating. It was just wonderful. And so we grew, and it says grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what happened. We just started growing.
Yes.
And growing. And, let's see. There's so much. The grace of God that appeared unto all men teaching us, denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. And God started taking our sinfulness away from us. Amen. Like, I went out to eat and ordered an alcoholic drink after I got saved. And I just sat there and looked at it. And I would go to drink it, and God, there's just something inside of me. I would draw back. And then it went on and on for like 3 hours. It sat there. And I didn't drink it, but I didn't even know it was the Holy Spirit. I didn't get it yet. I was brand new. So all the desires to read the Bible and go to church, those were all... I remember waking up one morning, and Jesus said in my heart, "Good morning, Susan." And that was the first time, Brother Lindell, I knew Jesus was in there. I had just prayed some prayer, and here he was inside of me. It was really wonderful. Nice. But so we just got into church and was there, like I said. We had to learn how to follow the hymns, you know what I mean? We did everything wrong. When my husband first went to church, he had a silk shirt on. And who's that guy with the big shag hairstyle? Tony Orlando. Shag. And I mean, we were just a mess. We were just a mess. We used to pass out Revelation commentaries thinking as gospel tracts. We ordered a whole case. We ordered a whole case and we'd say, "Here's something you'll hear all about the Lord if you just read." We sat down with his ancient grandmother with the Larkin's Dispensational Truth and tried to lead her to the Lord, telling her about the book of Daniel. Wasn't God happy with us? So,
oh, yeah.
Didn't he love it? Yeah. Look at that. Look at my new ones down there. They think they're...
Amen.
He loved it.
Amen.
He loves our awkwardness when we're... But anyway, so... Well, we had a Jewish ministry, and we had printing presses in our house, and we taught Sunday school, and we had Bible clubs, and we just had 19 years. God gave us 3 children, we had a great 19 years of just serving the Lord and just church members. Just wonderful. It was wonderful to just be in church and just have the Word of God working richly in our hearts. And then Mike said, "There's something wrong with me." And I said, "What's wrong?" And he said, "Something's wrong in my mouth." So I thought it was myasthenia gravis, which affects muscles in your neck. And so I went to the library to look it up because I'm this great diagnoser. Like, if I go to the doctor, I have the diagnosis with me. I tell him what he needs to give me, you know. I'm sure they didn't even like seeing me coming. But so I went to look in the Harvard medical book that tells you all about it. And I looked up all of his symptoms under myasthenia gravis, and there were some. But then I turned the page, and I saw a sentence that right there. I saw the sentence, and I said, "No. Not this one, Lord. Not this one. This one here has a... We can work with this one. And this one...
Sure.
This one has a remedy, but this one doesn't have a remedy." And it was Lou Gehrig's disease. And the reason I knew is because it said inappropriate laughter. And I had just told someone the night before at church, I said, "We've been doing a lot of laughing these days." You know, sometimes when you're having a rough time, you laugh. but it was because of emotional lability, which is part of Lou Gehrig. You laugh when you don't, you just laugh and laugh and laugh and you can't stop laughing, or you cry and cry and cry and you can't stop crying. It's just whichever emotion. So anyway, so I looked at those two and I copied them and I put them in my purse. And the next day we went to the doctor and the doctor said, "You have Lou Gehrig's disease," which then I felt like a traitor that I had not prepared my husband for what I found the day before. But I didn't want to say that because that one is terminal. So the doctor said, "Mike, you have Lou Gehrig's disease and every muscle below your eyes is going to become paralyzed and your brain will be fine, and you 3 to 10 years, maybe, like that." And So that was the beginning of our journey for 2 years of him losing function over the time. The children were 8, 9, 10, up to like 14 or 15. And they helped me with everything. And I could go, I'd have lists and lists of all the blessings that God did for us during that time. And I have lists of everything hard that happened during that time to show how God balances out the hard with the wonderful, right? So I have those things, and I'm not going to go into those because I just have a few more minutes. But the blessings, one of my daughters wrote an article after she thought she was going to, like, submit it to a Christian magazine. And her sentence was, they were the worst years of our lives, but they were the best years because God walked in our home during those years.
Wow.
He put his arm around us. He got us through. Our church brought meals, I think, 85 times to our house the last year. And they fasted for us for a year and a half. Every day, someone at church was fasting to get our family through that very difficult time. A church family is very important, folks. Just because someone's not here doesn't mean they don't need you to reach out and call them, send them a card. Don't think that they don't want to be here.
That's good. Amen.
But they do. It's just hard. That verse, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. And that's true. And I just wanted to read you some things that the Lord taught me. If I had to, I was asking you the other night, Brother Lundo, I said, tell me about your wife. I want to know something about her. And I think that each one of us can have something that I take away from your life, right? Hopefully. We each have something that if I sat down and talked with you. But these are things I hope will be a blessing to you. And I want to tell you, young people, appreciate the good years you have with your spouse.
Amen.
I don't know if you can see this. This is our family, our first family, my first life, right there. But you better appreciate what you have.
Amen.
Because when it's not there anymore, you hate yourself. You hate yourself for every time you complained about anything. That you didn't make the day sweet. That you didn't overlook something and give somebody the benefit of the doubt. Because you don't know when it's over.
Right.
And it's over. So appreciate the good years while you have them. And cherish your marriage. And guard it with everything you can. And then I learned that the weaker we are, the stronger he is. He gives power to the faint, right? And to them that have no might, he increases strength. When we come to the end of ourselves, God is there. He must increase, but I must decrease, right? And do you know where God is? Do you know where you find God, ladies and gentlemen? When you're this big. When there's nothing of you, that's where God is, at that very point. We can come to the place where without God we can do nothing. I learned that. I learned that all his promises are true. They're yea and amen. Amen. And then I learned that we know not what we should pray for as we ought. Right? But the Spirit maketh intercession. I learned that. And God can help us do the undoable and the unthinkable. I had to do things I never dreamed I could do. I'm not a nurse, sis. And I had to do, really intricate things that I never dreamed I could do. God helped me. I said, I can't go in there one more time. I can't go look at him one more time like that. And God said, but we can. I will go with you. And I felt his arm around me.
Thank you.
To hold me in there. I learned that God can calm every storm in our lives. I learned that. He can calm the sea and he can calm a storm in your life. And God gently teaches us to come to him before the crisis. Like I would come to him at 4:00 in the afternoon, exhausted. I can't do this anymore. And God would say, why didn't you come to me this morning? Why did you wait until 4 o'clock? So I learned that. And God can give you what it takes to fulfill any kind of mission he gives you in this life. He will give you the ability to do it. I found out that our sufferings will comfort others. One of my life verses, I think, has become 2 Corinthians 1:4. God comforteth us in all our tribulations that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble. I learned to keep short accounts with God. When you're in a tough spot, you don't want to have to be confessing 100 things before you can get on praying ground. You want to get it, nip it in the bud, right? And keep it short. And you know what? All the scriptures, all that 19 years of just soaking up the Bible and being at church and the fellowship and everything, the songs, they all came back. Every song came back. And then the smaller trials before that had prepared me somewhat for the bigger. They were help and strengthening to me. And so Mike passed away. And I told the Lord that I would give, I said, what do I do with the rest of my life? What do I do? I feel like a Green Beret with no mission. He's gone. He's in heaven. He's having a great time. Amen. He's having a great time. And I said, I'll marry a preacher. Just don't make me marry one in California. I don't know why. I said, I'll marry a preacher, you know. So I said, please let him be somebody with a zeal for souls, like, because Mike was he always thought about people, where they were going. And he was great about passing out tracts and telling people one by one about the Lord. And I said, please give me somebody with a zeal for God and somebody that would love my kids. And God gave me David. So we've been doing this for 23 years, and I hope that some of the things I learned, you know, I figure that those things he taught me during those 2 years were going to help me be on the road and be a blessing to others as we traveled. So thank you for your time. Amen. I appreciate it. Oh, I think I like to help. Oh, I have to give it up.
Get it. All right.
Amen.
Amen. Preach.
You sure you need another message?